Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today to talk about all things NBA Top Shot is Jack Settleman from Snapback Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Settleman. Jack, great to have you on the show.
What's going on? How are you?
I am doing absolutely amazing, as is everybody who has had any shred of action in NBA Top Shot. And what we are going to do today is talk about NBA Top Shot, but not why you should do it. We'll just briefly touch that because we're past that point. This is seeing the opportunity, seeing the value. And with this being a sports betting podcast, the reason that I wanted to talk about this is because this is a new market and a new opportunity that has value, ups and downs, very similar to the way that we shop lines or try and pick sides or totals or props and say, hey, what do we see in the market where there is value? Well, guess what? There is a ton of value in NBA Top Shot. So you ready to do this?
I am very ready.
All right. So this is the only time we're going to talk about this. What in the world is NBA Top Shot? The simplest way that I can put it is think about basketball cards meets the digital version with more opportunities, sweeter plays, and a built-in marketplace that is exploding. And how much is this marketplace exploding? This comes from Boardroom. This is 2 days ago they tweeted this. NBA Top Shot in the last 30 days has generated $106 million in total sales, $53.9 million over the past 7 days, and $16 million in a single day, which was a new record. Based on those sales this month, NBA Top Shot became the largest NFT market ever. So even if you don't understand anything that we're about to talk about, all you need to do is look at those numbers and say, this is a real opportunity.
So you said 2 days ago, $16 million. In the past 24 hours, they set a new high of $48 million. So we've already 3X in the past 2 days, which is insane.
Which is amazing. So this is not about, do you understand NFTs? Do you understand blockchain? Instead, this is an opportunity for you to say, one, I love sports. Two, I love basketball. Three, as a sports bettor, I see opportunities and value. And four, you have the ability to either collect or invest. And this is something that is going to become the gift that keeps on giving. So that's why we are talking about this. That's why we are all excited about the opportunity that is NBA Top Shot. So let's start then with how in the world did I get into this? And it's actually because of you, Jack. So I've been following you for a long time, and I see Jack and a group of investors buys a LeBron NBA Top Shot moment for virtually $50,000, and boom, Twitter's blowing up right there. So I'm like, all right, well, Jack's on this. I need to be aware of what's going on. And I believe for me, this was back in December, and NBA Top Shot is still in beta. So for those of you listening or watching right now saying, did I miss the boat? No, this hasn't even really started yet. This is just the beginning of it. I'm curious from your perspective, how did you originally get in?
I have been invested in some crypto stuff for years. I've also jumped into the physical sports card market back at when COVID started up in March. And so when I saw this tweet that came out over the summer from Top Shot, maybe the NBA liked it or was promoting it, I joined the beta list and then kind of didn't hear anything about it for a while. I would check in occasionally. And then I got onto the platform in July and I didn't get it. I didn't get it at all. I didn't see the value. I didn't understand it. And this is someone whose job is social media, lives in the digital age, was trading physical sports cards, and I just didn't get it. So I came back after the playoffs. I was checking around in September. I got some packs. It was cool, but once again, didn't really get it. And then for whatever reason, something sparked my interest around November and early December. And it all just clicked for me. I got digital ownership. I understood the way NFTs were headed. And I really started to dive in. And one of the most beautiful things about the NFT and Top Shot community is people want to teach you. So what that means is you can learn from the top people in the entire Top Shot platform. If I'm trying to be a real estate agent and I want to talk to the top real estate agent in New York City, I'll never get that conversation ever in my life. But on Top Shot, you can easily just Twitter DM, Discord DM someone whose account value is $20 million, and they'll take 30 an hour. They'll take an hour and a half just to talk through stuff with you. And we've seen that be a really helpful tool.
So I think you talked about an interesting thing. You didn't see the value. So I'll get to my first experience. So I see you with the LeBron card. I'm like, cool, sign up for an account. But with NBA Top Shot, packs are extremely scarce. You can't even get one no matter how hard you try. But randomly, I'm actually at Universal Studios in Disney. I get an email from Top Shot that says you've randomly been selected to receive a pack. And I'm like, this is incredible. Sure, $14. I don't know what I'm about to buy. I don't know what the experience is, but it's $14. I'm like, whatever, I'm about to learn something. And I get it. And I opened the pack and the experience was cool, but I look at the 5 moments that I got and I wasn't exactly overwhelmed. And I actually got a series one LeBron dunk. And like you, so I'm looking at all of this. So I get a LeBron series one dunk, a Derrick Jones block on LeBron, like a Clint Capella dunk, a John Wall dunk, and a Gordon Hayward jumper. And I pretty much look at all of them and I'm like, all right, what do I understand about value? What do I understand about the trading card market? So I'm looking at each of these things. Let's start with the LeBron dunk because it's like, oh, it's LeBron James. Was the dunk cool? Yeah, it was cool. But then I look at the periphery. They lose this game to the Clippers. So in the back of my mind, from a value perspective, I'm like, well, there's going to be a million other LeBron dunks. No one's going to remember this one because they lost to the Clippers. And for me, as I sort of put my formula of what matters together, I'm like, this moment doesn't do it for me. It's a dunk in a losing game, and I want the full package. So I'm like, well, let me see the marketplace and what this thing's going for. And it's going for $328. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. What do we got here? So I'm like, all right, well, I don't want this because I don't see the value in this. Remember, just like you saying, I didn't get the value very beginning. I'm like, all right, well, I see in the marketplace, there is 50 people selling it for 330. And then there's tons of people, 400, 500, 1,000. And I'm like, well, if you want to sell this, why don't you just go to the bottom? So I go $1 below and all of a sudden it sells immediately. And I'm like, wait a second. Did I just turn a $14 pack into this $327? So I look at this Derrick Jones block, which in that game, he has 5 points. They lose the game. I'm like, this is worthless to me. But apparently it's in some sort of challenge. So this is now worth 200 and some dollars. Immediately, I'm like, boom, get rid of this bad boy. Instantly, $200. So I turn this $14 pack into $502 of value. And it was upon that moment that I originally learned that, all right, someone's valuing this, even if I didn't correctly value what this series one is worth, which we'll get to in a second. But I think it's an interesting thing is you need to experience it to understand the value.
Absolutely. And I would love to dive into what those moments are worth today, because I'm sure you think about that often. I hope you reinvested it because selling LeBrons are not great moves today.
Whoa, right. So we'll get to that point now. So I sat with $502 in my account for, let's call it a week or two or something, because at that time, there was not a lot of movement in the market. From what I was seeing, the more rare or scarce cards that had the 4, 5, 6-figure price tags, I wasn't dealing in that world. I had a $14 bankroll that's now 500. So I'm not in that orbit. So I'm just sitting there looking at things. And one day I'm like, all right, what is my strategy for how I want to think about collecting or investing this? I'm like, I only want high-end players, because when I saw the Gordon Hayward jump shot, sold it for like $12 or something. Losing game, it was a jump. Like, it did nothing for me because I thought about it was a common to me, or at least that was my perception. Yeah. Sold it for $12, sold the other ones for $9. And I sat there and I was like, well, what would be the first player that I would want? I was like, well, Zion, of course. So I was like, let me race to the bottom. What's the cheapest Zion that was out there? And I look and there's a Zion dunk for $30, but it's a common. It's like 15,000 plus. So I'm like, Well, worst case scenario is I've got the cheapest Zion with all the big houses around me. So I'm like, boom, get that for $30. I was like, let's see what John Morant's doing. Boom, pick up a John Morant dunk for $14. These are the first two things that I do. And I just sit there and then fast forward to what was probably 10 days ago. And there's rumblings that Top Shot's going to do something with some of the Series 2 cards. They don't know what it is next. And I'm like, well, let me just use this same philosophy. So I'm like, I'm going to the top. Let me find the cheapest Kevin Durant, the cheapest Steph Curry, the cheapest Dame Lillard, the cheapest Trae Young. And I just buy up these moments anywhere from $25 to $95, go through my entire bankroll, and I sit there. And then overnight, I see in Top Shot changes the Series 2 from common to limited edition. In this $14 pack, which goes to a $500 bankroll, goes to $800, goes to $2,000, goes to $4,000, goes to $5,200 yesterday. And I'm like, I'm hooked.
It's insane. I mean, it's been insane. And what's crazy about the whole thing is, number one, 2 months ago, you could get packs whenever. You could come on the site. No one wanted them. They were just sitting there. Another thing was, I had a similar strategy to you. I came from physical cards. I joined all these breaks. Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter, Colin Sexton. Like, I've got all these base raw cards. And what I saw was player performance. They moved the market way too much. And it's just like, they're not going to, the second that Zion became not a rookie, his stuff started to drop off. So I bought the Stephs, the LeBrons, Kyrie, Kevin Durant. And the funniest part is, if you were investing in just the lowest moments, not only Dame, but Ish Smith, Mason Plumlee, Burks, because they're all singular dollar moments, and people bought up 100 of them each, and they 25-30x'd, which is insane.
Yeah, so I'm curious about the low end of the market, because I purchased a Taco Fall. Why? My wife went to UCF. He's a 7-footer. His name's Taco. Boy, that's fun. I get it for, I don't know, $14, and now I see it's worth $78. Well, why is this of note to me? Because that is almost the same price that I originally paid for the Kevin Durant moment. So there's a part of me saying there is something, the marketplace is valuing something higher than I see at the moment. So everyone's naturally saying, well, when is the pullback? At what point do you say, well, if you bought Taco for 14 and he's at 78, boom, there's a simple 5X profit. What is your thoughts on the bottom of the market right now? Because it's become a completely different game where you could buy Mitchell Robinson for $3 and now he's $100. So kids or anyone trying to get in, $100 is now the new floor.
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussion about this. Number one is, I'm done trying to time this market. I am doing a challenge. I'm not great at the challenge, trying to flip money. I thought about pulling out a bunch, taking cash off the table at all different points in the process, and I would have been absolutely wrong at every single point. So for that reason, I'm absolutely done trying to time the market. And I think there's obvious reasons for concern. There's so much money being pumped in. You've got Ish Smiths going for $25. You've got Alec Burks for $30. And who's going to want to own these when 15,000, 50,000 Zions come onto the platform in Series 3 or later in the season? That's absolutely a concern and a thought process that's having. But on the other side, how early are we? Like, at what point do we accept the fact that 120,000 NBA fans or just people on the platform, if that 8x's into a million people, it's 0.03% of the total addressable NBA fan market. Doesn't even touch crypto, doesn't even touch people who aren't NBA fans but just want to make money. So I think there's so much potential because we haven't had, I mean, it hasn't even really escaped NBA Twitter. If you're on Twitter, it feels like everyone knows about this. But if you take a step back, you realize my parents don't know about this. Like, their friends don't know about this. It hasn't hit the national news. It hasn't been on TV quite like we think it will be. It hasn't hit the All-Star break, the hype of the NBA playoffs. I really think it is just so early on where it's impossible to gauge. My belief is I would expect the stars to start to separate from the bottom, but they're already so high priced that if they continue to separate, then maybe the upside for the lower guys is higher. So I just can't try and time this market.
I'm with you as well. And let's talk about your Top Shot challenge, because I absolutely love it. You're trying to take $1,000 and turn it into $100,000. And once I was able to see my market value climb quickly, because I was able to time my KD's worth 5-10 times, the Zion's worth 20 times now, I'm like, boom, you can see the opportunity. So I'm in on these series twos, but I would like to be in some of the more valuable, maybe a series one or something that's a little bit more rare. And I'm thinking about the ability to flip these up to consistently get, like, I know yesterday when the market was going up and down, I looked at that LeBron look away three where he turns around and it went all the way down to 1900, where it was a moment that he's never going to have again. It's an incredible moment. I was like, boom, there's an opportunity, but I needed to liquidate what I had currently done in order to get it. And then 1 minute later, it's $300 more. And that was my mindset around it all. But then I started to think about you and your challenge, and what is the best way for someone who wants to be flipping? So if we want to sort of play this, maybe you have one part investing, one part, hey, let's play in the market. Mm-hmm. How do you recommend someone do that? And what sort of bankroll is necessary right now when everything's going for a minimum of $100?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem right now is everything seems to be going up. So it's like any insight that I can really offer is tough, because I have good insights. I know players that are going to be in the spotlight. I know that the All-Star reserves are going to give them a little lift, but everything seems to be getting a lift. So one of the things that I would focus on is, obviously, you need to dive in and learn about the intricacies of the market. So why are some players number, their serial are up to 1500, but there's actually only 1200 of them ever released, right? Because Top Shot's holding them in packs. So you can actually figure out they're more scarce. Another thing is everyone's hearing about the rookie badges or the first moment badges. And part of that's baked in, but 90% of people, I would guess, have no clue badges are on the way, because people just jumped in. They wanted to throw money. They see the success of it all. So I think that's a huge thing. Learn about badges, learn about challenges, study how, when the LaMelo Cool Cat challenge came out, prices skyrocketed, then they dropped off, then they went back up. Do you make more money selling off right before a challenge, or just holding through the entire challenge? So there's a lot of things to just learn from that. But yeah, it, when you're putting money in, stuff's tending to go up right now, which is why any tip doesn't really pay off right now.
And speaking of the challenges, so I was fortunate to get a second pack for $9, and I got a John Wall Series 2, and it was actually the sickest moment that I'd seen. He goes around the back and then an up and under layup, and I was like, damn, this is really cool. Like, I see the value in this, and it's now attached to the challenge. At the time in the market, it was $110, but I'm like, I'm not in the John Wall business. This does not, like we talked about, he is not at the level of KD, Steph, Dame, Zion, Ja, where I'm going to have them all the time. So I was like, sorry, I'm going to try and reinvest this elsewhere. But I also thought to myself, well, what if I completed the challenge? How much of my bankroll would it take? And I looked, in the moment with this was an Anthony Davis moment. And I don't know if it was a jump shot or a dunk or whatever it was, but I wasn't impressed by the moment. And I think there's a part of me, and I don't know if I'm overvaluing this, but I think when I look at the moment itself, the actual video, it's got to be really sweet for me to say, this is going to have a sustained value. And it's why of my 18 moments, 14 of them are dunks, because a dunk is always going to be amazing.
Yeah. That's the coolest part about the market. And I'm just watching and learning, and I'm obsessing over what's the market going to decide. Is the market going to take account for what is a cool moment? Because you look at sports cards, LeBron's rookie card is a fadeaway. It might be Photoshopped. I don't even know if it's from a real game. So people are like, oh, if that moment's not cool, it's not going to be worth much. But sports cards are just still shots from their rookie year that have no tie to the actual game. It doesn't matter if they won or lost the game, right? So that's really interesting. And the holy grail of the site is the LeBron Cosmic Dunk. It's a poster dunk, but that's not a famous moment in LeBron James's career. He has 100 moments that are cooler than that. But that's the biggest moment on the platform. Whereas when we made our 50K buy, we wanted to go for a special moment. It's a tribute to Kobe Bryant with the dunk he did. So that's why I'm in belief that I don't think that one will necessarily surpass the Cosmic, because the Cosmic's first. It's the first legendary. It's the first LeBron moment. But I do think that the moment will mean something long term, like the Steve Nash run it back. No one thinks of him in a Lakers jersey. They think of him as a son. No one cares about his weird outlet pass in the moment, but it's the only Steve Nash moment. And if you were to buy a Steve Nash rookie card, it wouldn't be tied to anything either. So I'm really intrigued, because I think there's a ton of people like you, and I think there's a ton of people who don't care anything about what the actual moment looks like.
Yeah, and I think you bring up something interesting. So as I look in my strategy, I bought a Carmelo Anthony for $14. Why did I do it? Because one, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Two, Race to the Bottom is the cheapest Carmelo. But three, to me, the moment was ultimate Carmelo. He was down on the low block, banged into some guy three times and did a fadeaway jumper. And I looked at that and I'm like, even though Carmelo's on Portland, this to me is exactly what Carmelo's game was. It showed how he's big in his body, and it comes from me as an NBA fan. I love basketball, and I think that's an advantage to the opportunity we have, those listening and watching right now. If you love sports, if you love the NBA, you do have an advantage in this market. If you can see, boom, Carmelo Hall of Famer, boom, Carmelo doing what Carmelo does, when other people don't exactly understand everything, they might be chasing a shiny object.
Let me attach on there the Steph Curry moment I bought. I bought a hollow of him. And this was early days when hollows weren't, you know, five, six figures. And I was asking people, because I wanted to get Steph. I love Steph. He changed the game, plus the next generation. I mean, he's their favorite player. So I was like, I knew I needed some Steph. And I was asking people, like we were talking about earlier, that have millions of dollars in this and are willing to help. And they were like, yeah, the hollow's Steph's best moment. It's his first legendary moment. It's an assist. It's a random assist. And I'm like, Stephen Curry is known as the greatest three-point shooter ever, but his top moment, you're telling me, is not a three-pointer. So I thought that was a really interesting learning experience. And we'll see if his three-point moments kind of catch up, but the assist has definitely distanced itself from everything else.
Yeah, I like the way that you're thinking about that. So do you think that from an opportunistic side, as you're doing, you take 1,000 into 100,000 right now, with the market rates where they're at right now and the volatility of it? I even look, my portfolio went from 5,200 to 3,400 to 4,800 to 3,900 in the matter of 12 hours last night. So we're seeing so much volatility right there, but if you want to try and play some sort of flip game like you're doing, which could just be a good reason for you to get in there, hey, put $500 in your account and say, what in the world can I do to start learning about this? What tips would you have for someone who wants to have fun? It doesn't mean this is the absolute strategy. This is more of a, we're letting people know how we're thinking about this, how you can get into it, how you can have fun. And if nothing else, I believe the learning experience of seeing how quickly something can sell, what sort of profit margin or loss that you can take on something. What thoughts do you have for someone?
Yeah, and I had a ton of moments that I wasn't selling. So I wanted to learn more about the market. I wanted to play around, buy, flip, sell, learn, you know, study. So I think I've learned so much just from doing that. The challenge is unique because I'm only buying one moment at a time. And I've said from the start, I think the best way to do it would have been to buy, you know, 50, $20 moments or 20, but it just would have been too hard to track for the challenge. So what I've learned so far is I'm awful at it. The first moment I bought was a Zach LaVine metallic gold LE for $1,000. If I had held that through the entire challenge, I'd be at $9,000. I flipped that for 1,200, 20% gains, right? So I'm like, this is amazing. Like I'm in 24 hours. So I buy a Brad Beal. I sell that for 1,600. That Brad Beal is now worth 5K. I take the 1,600 after the marketplace fee. I buy a Luka Kulkat. Now this, and I'll give you the thought process through these first three buys. First one, LaVine, people are hyping him up. He's going to be an all-star. And he had three primetime games. I think he played the Hornets, then he played the Celtics, and then the Lakers. So I was like, I can flip this quick. It worked out. Then I bought the Beal. I thought the Beal was pretty underpriced. He was the leading scorer in the entire league. On top of that, the moment was a buzzer beater. So one of the better moments of Beal's career. That I bought that at 1200. That's when the market dipped off pretty quick. There was that one pullback a few weeks ago. So for 3 weeks, nothing moved, nothing sold. I checked my account one day. It had finally sold. Now the Luka buy was probably my best buy. It was part of this LaMelo Cool Cats challenge. So I identified that with all the people coming in, this was going to be an important one because like we were talking about, there's only 4,000 LaMelos on the site and it's an awful assist. It's barely an assist. It's just an NBA assist. He passes to Hayward. Hayward takes six dribbles, gets a bucket. So with the super challenge being a LaMelo dunk from his rookie year, I knew there would be demand for that. 1,500, 24 hours later, it's $2,000. I sell it. Okay. Once again, locking in 33% profit. That Luka is now at $9,500. So I'm clearly not great at timing these things. I've now flipped it a couple times, but at least you can understand off those first three trades, like the differences in thinking about timeline and what's important on the site and what the new demand coming in is really going to covet.
I think one thing that's important is we're all experiencing the same stuff. It's hard to get packs. We're seeing the values of things. If you sold anything before 2 weeks ago, you're just like, oh my God, remember that LeBron that I sold for 300? That's now over 3,000. So how do I every single day wake up and not go crazy for selling that for $300? And the way that I'm at least mentally dealing with that is I was able to reinvest it in other stuff. So while the John Wall for 100 may be worth 300 or 400 now, I was able to turn that into a portfolio of Zion and Ja and Steph and KD. So it didn't go to waste where I just don't have bankroll sitting there. I was able to reinvest it. And I think that's part of the game that we all need to get accustomed to or used to, that this is an inexact science. It's a fluid market. So you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. None of us could have predicted these gigantic gains because otherwise we would have been so ahead of the market on some of these things. And it's very much becoming, I guess, what would be the community culture, like we saw with Reddit and GameStop, where the market has an opportunity. And I think I even saw you tweet something about this. There was an influencer who was like, let's buy a bunch of Zach LaVines. And all of a sudden I was like, holy crap, market manipulation can happen within this market, which you mentioned NBA players who are slowly coming on. If LeBron, like Taco Fall yesterday tweeted about it and Terry Rozier, and all of a sudden there's this built-in virality around getting rich in theory. If someone mentions something, like you and I right now could say, hey, Jack, let's get all of our audiences to buy a Nick Batum card because it's at the bottom and we're going to just flood this market. That's a real thing that can happen. And we need to be cool one way or another, knowing it's not going to be perfect. Let's have fun with this. I think that's the key of it. You talked about community at the beginning. This community is overwhelmingly awesome. And we are all checking NBA Top Shot a million times. We are checking our portfolios a million times. We're checking Twitter. It's like a new obsession.
It's a drug. It really is scary. I mean, what it is. And I'll say, I've felt a lot of responsibility because I've kind of been flung into, for lack of a better term, a Top Shot influencer. And what I can say has moved markets. So I take a lot of pride in putting disclaimers when I'm sharing stuff, if I own that stuff. And I think it's really dangerous, some of the things that are happening right now. I'm extremely bullish on it. I'm not selling anything. I do think everything's going to go up. But there's also some people out there that are like, buy this, buy this, buy this. We're pumping, we're dumping. People don't understand. Someone loses in a pump and dump. The reason GameStop was working was because there was money on the other side. And whether you want to kill the old rich white man, that's for a different time. But there was money on the other side. If you're an influencer and you pump and dump and you sell at the top, your lowest guy is getting crushed because it's a dump. So I think for that, I've already DM'd someone today who's posting all over their story. He's got a million followers, a lot of basketball fans, and it's all these success stories. It's, I turned 4K into 28K. I turned 28K into 100K. And it's really dangerous because not everyone can win, even with the amount of money and demand that I think is going to come, I really, it's tough to kind of border that line.
I love that caveat that you just gave there. And I'm the same way. I'm always, when it comes to me doing this podcast and the way that you and I live our lives, I'm here to have fun. I love sports. I love basketball. I love collectibles. I love talking sports betting in value. I love the community. I love knowing people like you and the people who are part of your community. And for me, that's sort of how I would want us to leave this is be part of the NBA Top Shot community. Just see what's going on there so you can experience it for yourself. I am so bullish on this. It's ridiculous. Last night, I couldn't go to bed because I was like, I recently had the CMO of the PGA Tour on my podcast. It's actually going to post this week. And I was like, why in the world does golf not have this? Like, could you imagine how many opportunities for a sand save or an amazing putt or a birdie in the marketplace? Because that's the thing that I think everyone needs to realize. There's a built-in marketplace around micro viral moments for players that we can digitally tokenize that can live forever and that has value. So if you put this across every single professional sports league, this is bigger than eBay times a million because of the opportunities for the built-in marketplace.
Yeah. I was talking a lot about this last night. I don't think, because it's so new, that we have even started to conceptualize the amount of market cap that's possible, because we compare it to sports cards, right? And that's the collectible we know. $5.4 billion market cap on eBay, but we're in VR, AR. We're going to be in video games. We're going to be like, it's so new that no one's even conceptualized that. And I know this is a sports betting podcast, so I'll offer you something that I think is interesting about this. Why I liked physical cards. I don't necessarily, and I have a huge sports betting background. You know, I worked at Action Network. I love those guys. Betting's a zero sum game, right? You could nail your pick, right? You break it down, you analyze it. It's the breakout. You could say, I'm trying to think the NFL MVP this season, Mahomes, Russ Wilson. You could have nailed those guys were going to have super seasons, bet their odds at 7-1, 5-1. But Rodgers wins and you're left with zero. Here, you don't maybe have the upside of a 7-1, but is a 3.5-1 or 4-1 return on something that you nailed instead of it just going to zero, I think is really interesting, because you essentially need bankroll to keep becoming available to be a sports bettor. When you invest in these things, you can lose your 10%, you can lose 20% on an investment you made, but you can take it out and then you're not left with zero. So I think that's a pretty intriguing aspect of this.
Yeah. And what I would actually say is that's the live betting aspect of things that I'm so bullish on. Like on this podcast for the last 2 years, I've preached that where I'm living as a sports bettor is in props and in live betting. Why? It's real time and there's more value and the lines aren't as sharp as -3 one way or another. Hey, that's tough to do. And with this fluid market, when you see value one way or another, you can jump on it and you can have fun and you can experience it. So Jack, really love jamming with you. I think there's so much potential here. I recommend checking out YouTube and Clubhouse and podcasts and Twitter. There's so many things. Just search NBA Top Shots because it's a growing community and the potential is just through the roof. Where can everybody connect with you, Jack?
On Twitter. I think if you have Top Shot questions, at Jack Settleman, Settleman. I've been answering all the DMs, which is what I feel like is a pay it forward, because a lot of people gave me, I mean, Pranksy. So I don't know if you know who Pranksy is. He sold $1 million worth of moments in the past 3 days. He's the biggest NFT whale there pretty much is. And back in November and December, I was having Twitter DM conversations with him. It's actually who I ended up buying the LeBron moment from. And so I feel the need to pay that forward, because there is so much to learn. There are so many questions and I've just gone through it all. So hit me on Twitter if you have questions about Top Shot, same socials on Instagram. And if you're on Snap, you can find me there too.
And I want to hear from you. Are you playing with NBA Top Shot? If so, what has your experience been like? Give us some of your best or worst buys or sells, because we all have them. There's no one out here in the market who is perfect. And if you're not in it, why not? I would love to hear from you. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure you use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The book of the devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.